Morning.
I'm excited about this new series coming up. How many people know what today is? There's a few of you that are going to know what today is. Today is the day that they recognize Pentecost. It was the day that the disciples were up in the upper room praying when the Holy Spirit arrived. So it's a really special day that we look into the Holy Spirit because we truly believe in the Holy Spirit, right? The Lord is the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we have access, and they all come into our lives to do things in our lives and to be a part of our lives, to empower us, to teach us that we would just be a part of their plan and their kingdom. And this morning, I want to start a series on the Holy Spirit. And before we start that series on the Holy Spirit, I want to invite you, encourage you, to go into the Bible and start reading through your Bible, especially about what the Holy Spirit is, who He is, and what He does. And there's certain things that we're going to go through this morning that you might have questions on, so I encourage you to go into the Bible to look at those things and find those answers for yourself. And if you're still confused, come talk to me. Come talk to me about it. Talk to somebody else that you know has a good grasp on the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit, what He does in our lives. Because I want to make sure that we're going to start rather simple today. But we're going to get into some things with the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to leave anybody behind. So, and if you don't understand what's going on, please ask. Please ask. Anyway, so, you know, one of the things that... Well, there's actually really a couple things, and I've told you this before, that pastors don't like or, you know, really are apprehensive about preaching on. One of them is marriage, and the other one's tithing, finances kind of thing, because you never know how people are going to, you know, respond to those things, you know. Pastors are apprehensive in tithing because they don't want you to think that the church is just a money-hungry entity. But it's, you know, scripturally based about why we tithe. Also, the same thing on marriage, to where, you know, it's like people don't want them butting into their social life and things like that. But there's also a scriptural basis for that. Well, I'm going to add to that this morning the giftings of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of pastors nowadays that are not preaching on and not communicating about the Holy Spirit and what He does, and the giftings that He brings to your life when you give your life to Jesus. Those things are essential to the church. And I don't find a reason why that preachers, that pastors, priests, whatever you want to call them, they have trouble communicating this subject. And it's been a time here at New Life of building up and making sure that everybody is at least on a simple foundation of biblical knowledge before this subject came in. But now it's time to bring this subject in. But they don't preach on it because, again, they don't know how people respond to it. But it's something that Jesus brought into the lives of the disciples on that day of Pentecost. A life, you know, that He said, you need this. So with that in mind, I want you to turn to the book of Luke, and I want you to turn to chapter 24 in the book of Luke, and I want you to read with me what Jesus had told His disciples, what was going to happen and what's coming up. Luke chapter 24. And when you've reached chapter 24, I want you to turn to verse 49, please. And these are words put in here that I'm sure that you've probably heard before. And if you have not at this time, I'm glad you're here this morning to hear these words because they're really important to what's going on and how Jesus is leaving the area where He says, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. I want you to look at that verse. I want you to look at that where it says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. How many of you know if God promises you something, He doesn't neglect giving it to you? If He promises you something and He gives you something, He also doesn't take it back. If He promises you something, you have access to it forever. And he promised he was going to bring something, right? Jesus said he has promised, but they were supposed to do one thing. They were supposed to stay in the city. They were supposed to stay in the city, right, together, until you have been clothed with power from on high. Power from heaven. Now, we all have some ideas in our mind about what this power is. I'm sure we've all heard kinds of stories about what's going on. I hope that everybody's at least read, you know, stories or something about what the Holy Spirit and what He does in the Bible. Because the Holy Spirit is truly essential to what's going on here and the plan of our Lord and Savior and our Father in heaven. It's essential to their plan about the church here on this earth. And this was not the only time that the Lord said, I want you to wait here for this. I want you to turn to the book of Acts, please. In the book of Acts. It's not very far in the first chapter. It's not far in there at all. To where Jesus is again addressing the disciples and telling them that they need to do something. He says, do this thing. It's essential that you do these things. Chapter 1, starting with verse 4, where he says, and on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. There again, he's talking about a gift that my Father has promised you something, and I want you not to leave here until this gift has been given to you. You must stay here. You must do this thing until you have been given this particular gift. And then he goes on to say, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean, baptized by the Holy Spirit? Well, we know as we have baptism in our lives, we have salvation, a baptism by the Holy Spirit, when we receive Jesus into our lives, and that moment that we receive Him, we are saved, that we've been baptized by the Holy Spirit at that time. There's also the water baptism that they talk about John under, but there's also a continuation of baptism by the Holy Spirit, of this power that Jesus is talking about, this power for His disciples and for His church. But who is this Holy Spirit and what is His purpose? Well, it breaks down to one simple thing of the Holy Spirit there. He's here to help us. That's it. Plain and simple. The Holy Spirit is here to help us. He's here to see us through things. He is here on this earth to do nothing more than to glorify Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does. There's no mystery about it. There's no, you know, further looking into it. If you bake it down to the essential, that's what it is. He's here to glorify Jesus. And He's here to help us glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives and He helps convict us of sin, right? It's kind of our conscience. And He speaks into us that we shouldn't be doing these things. And we need to do some things there. He's also there to help us continue to regenerate, you know, in our newborn lives, to help us regenerate further. He's there to also to convince us of our salvation, that we have salvation on our Lord Jesus Christ. When we let Him into our lives and we believe in Him in our hearts, we have that continuance, assurance of salvation. He's also there to enlighten us on what's going on. How many of you have heard about reading the Bible and that the Holy Spirit reveals the Bible as you read it and as you are able to understand it? The Holy Spirit does that. He enlightens us. He gives us knowledge. He gives us understanding. He gives us wisdom. He's also here to transform us and help us transform into God's image. I think that's everybody's goal here, is to be Jesus-like. To be transformed into the image of Jesus. That you let Jesus into your life and model after Him what you want to be. And the Holy Spirit helps us to do that. The Holy Spirit is also here for fruitfulness, that we would be fruitful, that we would go out and we would deliver the word of the gospel and be fruitful and multiply in ways of building up the church. Also about gifting. Did you know that the Holy Spirit gifts you in so many different ways? So many different ways. In fact, when we get further into the series, we're going to talk about there's actually 21 different ways that the Holy Spirit can gift you, and that's beyond just what you receive in the beginning. These are special giftings that he gives because it's told, and Jesus said in that chapter in Acts that you will be bathed, baptized in power. The Holy Spirit empowers us to do things we could not do by ourselves. And there's many different things that we could possibly think of and know in our lives that the Holy Spirit, that God has helped you to do this. That we think of God, we think of the Heavenly Father, we think of Jesus, and we leave out the Holy Spirit sometimes thinking that Jesus helped me do this. Well, Jesus did, but the Holy Spirit was the one here filling you and empowering you to be part of the kingdom, to be part of the plan. And because that is so important, Jesus commands his disciples not to leave until this has happened. And this is all before, just before he ascends into heaven. It was important enough for him to communicate this to his disciples just before they saw him rise to heaven. This is an important aspect of just being with Jesus and believing in everything that the Lord has for us. He says, I want you to be here because I want you to have access to this, well, it's basically a supernatural spiritual powerhouse, the Holy Spirit is. Supernatural in his aspect because he brings to the table something that you will not have any other way. And having that in your life. It was so important that the Holy Spirit needed to be here on earth that Jesus knew he had to leave. Otherwise, Jesus could have hung around a little bit longer. But the thing is, Jesus was only a man and he could be only in one place at one time. But the Holy Spirit is everywhere all at once. And this is important for us to understand that. In fact, it was so important that, again, Jesus commanded. This is a command. Jesus didn't give a whole lot of commands. He urged, he questioned, he gave these things, but there's a command. It says, you stay here and do this. And why was it so important that Jesus had to do this? Well, because as a church, we were going to need it. As a church, they were certainly going to need it. As you would read in the book of Acts, you would read about how things happened in there and what the early church needed. But folks, I'm here to tell you that this church needs it just as much. The want, the mission that we are on has not changed since Jesus gave it to his disciples. That mission is still going. And we need the Holy Spirit to accomplish this mission. But the thing is that we as a church, and I'm saying New Life, I'm not saying anywhere, I'm saying as a church in general, encompassing the earth, the church, has become insensitive to the Holy Spirit. Insensitive. And not seeking those things. The Holy Spirit does many things and gives many things. You can read about it wherever you want. The Holy Spirit, you know about how the Holy Spirit gives you fruit of the Spirit, right? You've heard that before. Fruit of the Spirit. What is fruit of the Spirit? We chase the fruit all the time. We like the fruit. Tastes sweet. It makes me happy. The fruit of the Spirit, we like that because it makes us feel good. The fruit of the Spirit, what it is? Look up it in Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 22, where it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Right? You've heard those before. You like those things, hopefully. You like having those in your life. This allows us to be Christ-like, be in His image. We're given access to the fruit of the Spirit as soon as we believe in Jesus. You have all of it. It's a fruit basket full of things and it just somebody gives it to you. You have all of it. And we like that. Well, we might not feel it all the time, but you still have access to it. It's still inside you. It's still part of your life. But the other part of the Holy Spirit and His gifts are a little bit different. And this is where people kind of get confused. This is where people get mixed up because, well, basically they don't understand them. They don't understand all these gifts, all 21 types that might be out there. These gifts, because you don't understand them, then can lead to a point where you could become frightened of them because somebody has told you a story about whatever has happened with a gift of the Spirit and frightened you because it's just like, oh, that's just weird. It also because these gifts of the Spirit that I'm talking about require obedience. They require a dedication of purpose in your life. And sometimes we all know, and I'm pointing at myself, we all know that sometimes we can be disobedient, that our dedication to purpose is not where it should be. And this is what stops us sometimes. And I want to address these reasons why, because we should not be hung back from enjoying and connecting with the Holy Spirit in all aspects. And I want to talk about it, and I want to start with the scary part. There's some scary things that come around, right? We hear talk about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit's being in life. In fact, the Acts 2, verse starting with verse 1, talks about how the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. And we look at that on the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, right? And then suddenly the sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. These are scary images. These are not normal things that you would have in life. You know, we know the sound of wind. Would you go ahead and put up verse 2 again, Brandon, please? You know, we know what the sound of blowing wind, especially violent wind, all you had to be around was a couple weeks ago when the tornado was coming through to know what a violent wind sounded like. Filled the whole house. Well, you know, my wife yells at me because I stand at the door watching the weather while they're down in the basement. And it's like, honey, I've been chasing tornadoes long enough that I know when I need to be in the basement. But when that wind came up, do you guys remember the wind that came up? And what it sounded like? And how it filled the noise in the house? And the wind came in. If you had windows open, the wind was coming in. But it's the second part in verse 3 that really throws people off. But it's such a vivid image. And you have to think about tongues of fire that came and rested upon them. You have to think about how they associated the visual image way back then. They had never seen or heard of anything like this before. We have the advantage of having Scripture, of having the Bible and reading about things and knowing these things and having that knowledge in our head. They had no clue. So the best thing they could do is they could equate it to was, well, they seemed like tongues of fire that separated and came on each one of them. They had no way to explain it any other possible. I don't. But they're such vivid images that sometimes they really can be scary and we don't understand them. They're not always understandable. But Jesus said, I want you to wait here. I want you to wait for this sign. And when this sign comes, you will be emboldened. You will be given power to go out and spread my gospel. And that's what they did. They waited. And these things came. But they waited because they had a dedication of purpose. They had obedience to Jesus. They listened to him. Could you imagine what would happen if they, well, Jesus left. We're not going to wait here and do that. But they didn't do that. They were obedient to Jesus and said, we're going to wait here and we're going to pray while we do these things. And when that came on them, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, the gifts were made available. And that's something big that comes out of there. But the thing is that these particular disciples made a choice. And they wanted this gift. And that's the big part that the church nowadays that they come away from is that they don't really want the gifts that the Holy Spirit can truly give. And that's where we're falling. We must want them first. We must seek them out. And one of those ways that we truly seek them out is to live a life dedicated to Jesus, but to also pray for them. What were the disciples doing when they were sitting up in that upper room? Do you remember? They were sitting there and they were praying. They were making prayer a part of their life. In some ways, I think the church has forgotten how to pray. Again, we speak in generalities, right? I know there's individuals out in the world that know how to pray, that call Jesus their Lord. In fact, they, you know, it's like I would look at them and go, they just know how to pray. It's got nothing about how they're asking for things, but that they're desiring things, that they want to talk to God, that God is in the mix. And they're seeking God in their lives. And they're spending that time in communication and communion with Him and making God a part of their lives and praying on that. But we've forgotten how. There's a particular quote by R.A. Torrey in a book called How to Obtain Fullness of Power. And I want to read this to you. It says, "How little time the average Christian spends in prayer. We are too busy to pray, and so we are too busy to have power. We have a great deal of activity, but we accomplish little. There are many services, but few conversions. The power of God is lacking in our lives and in our work. We have not because we want not." Well, that kind of hurts, doesn't it? That hurt me when I read it. I was reading through that book, and it's like, man, I need to get my life back in order. And want God in my life. Truly to seek God in my life. And spend that time. You want the blessing of the Holy Spirit in your life? You want His fullness of power and Him to be a part of your life? You have to ask for Him. They're not just something that's just going to get piled up in your lap and said, well, here you go. The fruit of the Spirit is there for you. The gifts of the Spirit are entirely different. You have to want them. You have to seek them. You have to desire them so deeply that God knows that you are in communion with Him and having that in your life. You know, we as people, we as Christians, we as followers, we have no problem asking for things. We don't. We ask for things all the time. I ask for things all the time. I ask to bless you, bless other people, watch over me. I ask Him to heal my shoulder. I ask Him a lot of things, right? And I'm sure that people are likewise in that same category where they ask these things. But are we truly asking for this connection with God and the Holy Spirit? Are we asking for those? Because these things from the Holy Spirit, they cannot be earned. They're not something that you can go out and you can work for and make as a wage that God's just going to pay you because you did all these things. God has no interest in your efforts in this fact. He says to go out and do likewise in His name. Jesus told us that. But these particular gifts are something that cannot be earned. They're something that is given. Something received. But oftentimes we pick and choose what we want from God. God, I want this, but I don't want this. You know? It's kind of like reading a menu and ordering a hamburger. It kills me every time. I love my wife. I love my wife. I love you, hon. When we go to a restaurant, she's looking at the menu, right? And she orders this hamburger. And she looks at the hamburger and everything on it, and she says, and the lady comes, or the person comes, and she orders this hamburger, and all of a sudden she's going, well, yeah, I want this, but I don't want this. And instead of this, can I have this? You know? And then on the side, can you put this and this? We treat God like we're ordering at a restaurant sometimes. Where we're saying, God, I don't want pickles, but I want some bacon. Everybody likes bacon. Hold off the ketchup. Double the mustard. God, can you put this on the side just so I can test and see if I like it first? And if I don't, it's not all on my food. It's just there for me to dip in when I want to. We do these things. We treat God like a restaurant. And this is where we're failing in that fact of not having access to the Holy Spirit, because God says, no. Take me, take all of this, but you don't get to pick and choose. I know what's best for you. You know what? Instead of getting this hamburger, maybe you should have the heart-healthy omelet. I don't know if you guys ever had one of those, but But it's simplified, and I do it just to kind of lighten the mood a little bit. But the thing is that's the way. God knows what we want. He knows what we need. And he delivers us what we need. And sometimes it coincides with what we want. Hallelujah for that. But the thing is, the Holy Spirit is there for us. All of him is there for us. All we have to do is want it. All we have to do is seek it. All we have to do is ask for it. All we have to do is have a dedication to purpose and obedience and going after it. Nobody's pressuring you to do this, but I guarantee you, if you do this, it is a tremendous experience, and you will say, why did I not do this sooner? Why did I not have him more in my life sooner that I could feel and I could be a part of this? So we're going to continue in this series. And we're going to go in such a way as we're going to kind of, it's kind of like in Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 through 12, you're not going to read them, we're going to put them up. But he's talking about Ezekiel where he has this vision, he's going with somebody, and he goes to the temple, and they go around to the east side, and from the south side, there's this trickle of water coming from the temple. And that water's trickling down there, and then they walk 1,000 cubits down further, and all of a sudden, this trickle has become ankle deep. Go a little bit further, the ankle deep comes up to knee deep to waist deep to all of a sudden it's over your head. Now, this not to mean this subject is supposed to be over your head, but this is the way we're going to wade into the Holy Spirit. That we're going to discuss things and we're going to go trickle, we're going to go ankle, we're going to go knee, and we're going to go waist, because I want you to understand. I don't want you to get lost upon the way. I want you to have a deeper connection with Jesus than you'd ever have before in seeking the Holy Spirit and know who the Holy Spirit is and what these giftings are and what they can do in your life and with your life. How they can change your life in such a degree that you look at your salvation and go, wow, I didn't even know there was anything past this. There is. There's so much more past this. We just need to go out. We need to seek it. We need to grab on and say, thank you, Lord. And wait for that gifting and keep on going further and further and further. But we need to understand it first. And this is where I hope that this series will help you to understand it. And again, if you have questions, research it in Scripture. That's the best reference material I can tell you to go to. And if you're still not sure, I'd be happy to have a conversation and talk about it, to be there. Because not understanding is probably holding people back more than anything else from seeking the gifts of the Holy Spirit in their lives. This imagery that comes along and happens. I want to read something to you from Acts chapter 2. And again, I haven't put this one up, but I just want you to listen to the words in here. I want you to listen to what he's saying here, and that you will know that these gifts are available to you. They are available. This is Peter addressing the crowd after the empowerment they received from the Holy Spirit. He says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. Pay attention to this part. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God said he would pour out his Spirit on all people. That's you, that's me, that's all of us that would call Jesus their Lord. You have his Spirit. You have that power. You have that fruit. You have access to those giftings. All we have to do is desire that deeper and deeper all the time. But it's your choice, nobody else's, whether you choose to seek the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Your choice. But don't limit yourself because you're fearful. Don't limit yourself because of a lack of obedience. Don't limit yourself because of a lack of understanding. These things will only hold you back from experiencing something so tremendous and miraculous that you will wonder why you hadn't done it before. So as we wrap up this morning, recognizing the day of Pentecost, Jesus commanding his followers to seek the Holy Spirit, to seek the power, I leave you at this: seek the Holy Spirit. Seek his power. Seek him in his wholeness. And I want to watch your lives when it happens. This is what New Life needs. This is what Inwood needs. This is what this community around here is. This is what the world needs. It needs people seeking the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to come out and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to every nation, every person. That's a glorious thing to do. And I look forward to doing it with you. So let's stand together and let's worship the Lord today.